Hey there, Crosswinds family and friends. Welcome to Crosswinds Unleashed. Each week we're dedicated to bringing the best stories and biblical life principles from authentic believers. Our podcast breaks down the Christian life through interviews and practical instruction we hope will be a fun and accessible way. I'm Craig Cooper, the host of this podcast and lead pastor of Crosswinds Church. Let me give a special shout out to Eliza Merrill, our executive producer, sometimes host, sometimes co-host, as well as Sheldon Boyce, our producer. I appreciate all that they do each and every week to make sure that this podcast goes out every single Friday. If you want to learn more about this podcast or anything Crosswinds related, head on over to our website at crosswinds.church. And so I have in studio with me today, no strangers to our podcast. We have the one and only Ryan Samuels.
I'm glad to be here.
And then the extraordinary Eliza Merrill.
It is a privilege. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Craig. Thank you.
Well, what are we going to discuss this during this podcast is really generational ministry. And I've got sort of a simple definition to kick off our discussion. Generational ministry is engaging and ministering to individuals from different age groups within the church. I mean, it's just a simple definition, mm-hmm. right? And for instance, here at Crosswinds, we have a multi-generational church, we minister throughout those generations, sometimes together, sometimes individually. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But there's an importance in doing generational ministry and focusing on generational ministry. And the first I want us to discuss a little bit is in generational ministry, you know, how generational ministry can foster unity and understanding among the different age groups. Mm-hmm. How do we do that? How do we foster unity and understanding among different age groups? Elijah, I'll go to you first.
I think that. Well, I mean, specifically for within the Crosswinds ministry context, some of the things that we've adopted as ways that we believe we are able to do this well is we have multiple sort of direct areas of ministry for different age groups. So we have kids ministry that meets on Sunday mornings alongside our weekend experience, right, that we have for everybody. But within that kids ministry, there are children all the way up to from birth to fifth grade who are being poured into on their age level and by people who love the Lord and want to see them grow. And then as of this year in 2024, we have also kicked off intermediate ministry, which is like this new ministry that is from fifth to eighth grade students. And then of course which meets during the 9 a.m. service here.
And they're there for Sundays. What? The first half of service, really. They're there throughout the musical worship, if you will,
yep.
aspect of service. And they head over for an age specific message and small groups, connect groups.
Yeah, and that's a cool blend. And something we've noticed being really cool is because with that intermediate age, they're sort of in between, right? They're not the young age of the kids and kids ministry necessarily, but they're not seniors in high school or you know whatever, and so they get to take take part in worship in the first half of our service. With everybody, and then they break off to hear the message that's sort of the same message that we're hearing, but more geared towards them. So the same principles and the same truth, right, but just geared in a way that's more applicable to them. But then, like, even outside of that, like, we have ministries for Crosswinds specifically for adults. I'll backtrack a little bit because there's student ministry in there also.
Yeah.
Which is right now it's sixth graders all the way through 12th grade, who on Wednesday nights they meet they are poured into and they get to connect group. They get connect groups and they get a message that's geared towards them. But then outside of that, we also have ministries at Crosswinds that are geared specifically for adults. I think about not only just the time that we get to have on Sunday mornings, right, as a full church family, but ministry specifically for them. I think of like Celebrate Recovery is you have to be 18 or older to go to Celebrate Recovery, and there's Adults Alive, and there's all of these different ministries that we have for the adult ages. But I think what that covers and sort of why we've done that is we truly believe that, and I guess what we'll probably get into is that the truth of God's word is applicable to all ages.
Yes.
And it's certainly enough to in itself, right, as we dig into God's word. We found at Crosswinds as we are able to sort of break our ages up a little bit and to dig into the truth of God's word amongst our peers. And so that's what's really cool about kids' ministries. They're digging into God's word amongst their peers. And so is that happening at intermediate and student ministry and, you know, alongside as you're sort of digging into God's word and you're digging into life alongside people who might be in that same bracket as you, you know. And there's power in that. There's power in community that way.
Absolutely. Ryan, what do you think? What would you add to that?
I mean, in the unity piece, you know, although each one of them are age separate, age specific, within the unity, we're all in this overarching goal of to know God and make him known, which is our mission of Crosswinds. And within each of those specific areas, we're encompassing, you know, we want to get them rooted in scripture. We want to make sure that they're being discipled or that they're discipling other people. Now, my wife is in the kids ministry most of the time, but, you know, I leading the student ministry and the intermediate ministry, one of the biggest things that I know that I need to do to be as effective as possible to help that mission come to fruition is to be culturally relevant, especially amongst that generation of sixth to eighth graders and sixth to 12th graders. And so in that, all of those things are encompassed. And I know Craig has the sheet in front of him, but you know, within each of those ministries that are age specific, we're trying to accomplish each and every one of those things.
You're talking about strategy, yeah, or values, our strategy, or values, metrics.
All of that is so in the unity of the generations that are represented in this church. Yes, the delivery of how it's being done, the way I'm delivering to sixth and eighth graders is, yes, different to those how I'm delivering it to the sixth to 12th graders and the way Kidsman's doing it and the way Adults Alive and older age groups and CR is doing it. It's all different, but it all is rooted in to know God and make him known, which in the unity piece of generational worship on what we have represented here at Crosswinds, that's that unifying piece. So Elijah touched on it a bit is we all are striving to understand and to know that God's word, whether you are an infant all the way up until, 90, 99, 100, whatever it is it applies to you just the same. It's just delivered differently. And I think Crosswinds, now I'm biased, now don't get me wrong, but I think Crosswinds does a really solid job because not only do we have all the ages represented here at Crosswinds of generations, but the staff is also the same exact way.
Yeah.
And I think you look at our staff and we have so many different generations represented on staff that when you come into, you know, a meeting or an opportunity to try, you know, what is our next step as a church? You have all of those generations represented. So that flows into the unity piece of, I think, as to why it feels holistically unified at Crosses. Now, obviously, there's things here and there that, you know, we would love, I think, to be better at as just either culturally
relevant.
Yeah,
we always want to improve. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, that unity piece is represented not just in the people that are walking through the doors, but also on staff. And I think that's a kudos to those who are leading the church.
Yeah, I agree. So culturally relevant is an interesting term, too. I want to define that as we understand it, because it could be a misunderstood and taken in all different directions. For us, it's communicating the timeless truth of God's word to an ever-changing culture. And so, yeah, so it's you know, we see it as great importance that a five-year-old is going to learn the truth of the gospel differently than a 50-year-old, you know, and a teenager, you know, a 13-year-old may learn differently than a 19-year-old. And yeah. So, you know, that's why that's so important. I think about unity a little bit leads me to the second area I would like to talk about. And that's the idea that really generational ministry provides mentorship and guidance for younger generations. And I think about the fact that, you know, I've heard people say, well, you know, you just put the kids in one area, you're putting students in an area. But that's not entirely true, because it's not like fifth graders are leading fifth graders.
Right.
You know, you don't just have a bunch of kindergartners running around a room leading each other. Obviously, there's adults over there. There's students over there. Mm-hmm. There's actually high schoolers who are pouring into elementary school kids. There's high schoolers in on almost every leadership team that's possible. I'll say what's possible within the church. And so you have you know, anywhere from a 14-year-old, we'll say, serving alongside possibly an 80-year-old in the ushering ministry and some of those things. And so there's a lot of opportunity there for the different generations, I would say, to mentor one another.
Yeah, totally.
And so that's a unifying factor, too, and a strength, I believe, with generational ministry.
Yeah, I think the beauty of generational ministry and unity in that fact is is that piece that I think culture approaches, generations as, okay, the younger generation look up to the older generation. Now, there is that part in it, but older generation, sometimes I think culture pushes the older generation into not really enjoying the younger generation. But like, just in the, and I'll speak as Crosswinds, as being on Crosswinds, is you do have that piece. And that's something that I don't want to skip over. And you talk
about the generations supporting each other
because, I mean, that is the truth. On our just connections team, we have a seventh grader on our connections team alongside those who are encroaching into their 90s. And they are both learning from each other. In so many different ways.
Just earlier this year, we had two people preach a message on a Sunday morning during both our services. And, you know, one is a seasoned pastor, and the other is a teenager.
Yep.
And they co-preached.
Yep.
And both did a wonderful job. And actually, that was an outbursting thing of mentorship.
Yeah.
That Pastor Betty had poured into Mia. And she has been growing in Christ. And as we were putting down the speaking schedule together and praying about it, we thought, man, you know, I really think God's leading us to have them do a message together for our church family. And it was a wonderful message in a lot of ways. I mean, just a strong message. But part of the strength was having two generations represented, but sharing the same truth.
Same truth, yeah. Same truth delivered differently for both of them.
Sure. And I don't know if it was delivered differently because of their age. It was delivered differently in part because of their personality.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, when we think about the importance of generational ministry, you know, I also think it really does ensure the passing on of faith and values from one generation to another. And, you know, again, a lot of people would throw the criticism, well, why isn't just everyone meeting all the time together? And for any parents out there, I think many of you know why. Mm-hmm. If you're not a parent, you may not know why. But, just the practicality of some of that. And also because we want to make sure, again, that culturally relevant, that we're taking the timeless truth of God's word and communicating it in a way that's relevant to whatever changing culture, not changing the truth, changing methods and so forth. But when we think about, you know, the passing on of faith and the values from one generation to another, I'm not just talking about older generations pouring into the younger, although that is essential. Also, it's treating every generation in the church as the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're a five-year-old and you came to Christ, you're the church.
Yeah.
The church is the sum total of all of us who are following Christ. And so a five-year-old who's a Christian, they're the church. A 15-year-old who's a Christian, they're the church. A 50-year-old, the church, 25-year-old, the church. You know, we don't have a 100-year-old yet, but if we had a 100-year-old, they'd be the church if they were a Christian. And so I think it's essential if we're truly going to pass on the faith that someone who's coming up through and finally they graduate from high school, but not at that moment are they sort of welcomed as part of the church. But they understand they're part of the church. They belong to Christ in the church from the moment that you said yes to God, no matter how old they are.
Yeah.
And so although we do have kids ministry, intermediate ministry, we have student ministry, we have some young adult groups that meet, connect groups. When everything boils down, that's only because we're trying to make sure that those groups are reached in a way that's relevant Correct. To them. But when everything is really, really said and done, we want students to be involved, like we said, in ministry of Yep. the church. As ministers of the gospel, so that when they graduate, they don't have to rediscover who they are as Right. a Christian, as part of a church. They are the church. Mm-hmm. They have been serving. They've been treated with the appropriateness of a brother and sister in Christ, mm-hmm. for years, hopefully. And to me, that's a wonderful thing. We'll hear about over and over again how a lot of students will leave after they graduate and leave the church totally. And I'd say we have a good retention stat of students who graduate and either will find ministries elsewhere, wherever their colleges are, their tech school, wherever they're working, if they're here, they stay here. I mean, they just continue on and grow as part of our church family.
Yeah. Well, and I think, that has to do with, I think, that unity piece, because now that I'm getting older, I'm almost 30. When I was 18, I was the people were telling me I was the church of tomorrow. Well, for me, as far as I know, tomorrow is right now for me, right. Back when I was 18 thinking about, but now in, the amount of times that we, are seeing younger kids and students be the ones to bring their families or to drive their families to church, it's a lot.
Yeah.
That we see a lot of younger kids getting their families to come to church. And so, that's a funny saying that they're the church of tomorrow, but
they're the church of today.
Man, there's so many people. There's so many young people getting baptized right now that are then bringing their friends, their friends are getting baptized, which then they're bringing their parents. And it all is because of the witness of one young student or a group of students. And it's unbelievable.
And we have grandparents doing the other who are bringing their grandchildren here. Mm-hmm. Their parents may not be coming, but they're bringing their grandchildren here. And so, when I think of some of the challenges that people would raise of this generational ministry, multi-generational ministry type of thing, one of the challenges is a generation gap in communication, and understanding. We've addressed some of that, especially as we think about those who are in eighth grade and down. But the other thing I've really appreciated about the history of Crosswinds, for many, many years before I ever came here, was, and I won't use the word sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice. It's the prioritization of the next generation, in a sense that instead of building a new sanctuary, they built a wing that would allow for greater ministry to children and teens. Over and over again, the church has made a priority out of pouring into the next generation. In fact, we overall as a church, when we think of Sunday mornings, the two worship services there, we often will sit back and say, okay, that younger generation, not necessarily teens per se, right. but the younger generation, what are they listening to? What style of whatever would really reach to them? And we understand that then we as who are in an older generation. Have to make that a priority to say it's not all about us, but if Christ tarries, mm-hmm. We know we're all the church of today, but if he tarries, meaning if he doesn't come back for a while, then the future of the church is in younger generations being poured into, and as they grow older, pouring into younger generations. If you get generation specific, at some point, that church will die.
Yeah, 100%.
Because we're all going to age. And so if I say, for instance, when any of us were like five, if we were to say we're going to focus on that age group, right? And as they grow, we're going to continue to focus mm-hmm. on them. Well, eventually, the church is done, yeah. right? And so I think that generational gap in communication, understanding, I also think there's an overplay on that too. That the reality of it is, no matter what age you are, no matter what generation you are, and we talk about generations, you know, are you Generation Z? Are you a millennial? Are mm-hmm. you Generation X? You know, who cares, right? No matter what generation, everyone's like, oh man, they're so different. Not really, because when it comes down to it, the basic need we all have is for a relationship with God and one yeah. another. I mean, basically, yeah. if you boil down what the Scripture teaches us, and I'll go with the Scripture over any psychologist, psychiatrist, mm-hmm. sociologist, any Christian leader out there, I put them to the test and say, when you boil it down, the Scripture is very clear. We've been created to have a relationship with God and one another. And if you're targeting those things with the gospel, then you are being culturally relevant.
Yeah. Well, and for Elijah, like, you know, he's been a part of a lot of, and you can speak on this in a second, Elijah, but you've been a part of a couple of generations of CR. We, you know, even the landing back in the day, which was a student
Celebrate Recovery, which is a ministry that helps people work through their hurts, habits, and hangups.
To now being in the adult realm of CR fully is like you've seen the impact that what the base need. Of every what the base need of every person lies in, which is to know God.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I mean I am a product of. I mean, I've grown up at Crosswinds, so I was born and raised in the Canandaigua, New York area, and I have attended Crosswinds ever since I was a very, very young child, probably, you know, three or younger, you know? And so I'm a direct product of, I grew up through kids ministry, and then I grew up through student ministry, and then I was a part of young adult groups, and now here I am today. I'm that result of people pouring into me as I was a kid, and then people pouring into me as I was a student. And then when I was in fifth grade, I was invited to serve on a ministry team, and I was serving alongside adults. And then, you know, as I grew up and I was a teenager, I was doing the same thing and serving with adults. And then when I was in 10th or 11th grade, I was then helping to pour into fifth through sixth graders, you know, and it was all, so it's funny to think about it that way, but I'm a product of that.
But multi-generational church.
Multi-generational church, you know.
And how old were you when you came on staff?
I was hired on staff at 17.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so and the reality of it is we still have staff who are coming on, you know, in their teens and we have staff who are much older. But the reality of it is, you know, I just think when we think of multi-generational, if someone's listening to this, maybe you're a part of Crosswinds, I hope you understand sort of a little more why we do what we do
yeah.
and why the focus is on what the focus is, because it's easy to go, oh, you know, I'm getting older now, and I'm getting older. We're all getting older. I'm getting older now, and I guess I don't matter. No, we do matter. We're part of the 100%. Mission of knowing God and making Him known, and we're not saying that. We're just saying that there could be a time when I come into Crosswinds and the music doesn't speak to me like it used to. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's okay. I, at a previous church I was at, you know, there was a pastor who was much older than me, and he said, his friend said, you know, the music at the church just doesn't seem to speak to me like it used to. That was his language. And he said, you know what, I realized I can go in my car at home and listen to anything I want, but nothing excites me more, he said, than seeing an upcoming generation minister to with the gospel. Now, the crazy thing is here, and I think because, to be honest with you, There's sort of a generation split, and I don't want to get into that because I'm not an expert in it, where music became less drastically different among the generations. If you think about the history of music in our culture, mm-hmm. there was a time to where all of a sudden the idea that you would have drums and guitar and all this as almost a necessity to do a worship song didn't become shocking to anyone coming in the doors anymore, yeah. you know, yep. because of the generational music. So I do think there's some reality there. But yeah, I just think, you know, the Scripture talks much about multi-generational ministry. In fact, in the next episode, we're going to talk about sort of the biblical foundation for generational ministry. But as we sort of go around the horn here, what would be your last words? Ryan, we'll start with you.
You know, being fortunate enough to to be one of the main people who oversee and help lead 5th to 12th graders. I think, you know, for them, it's easy to count out the older generation. And I won't speak into the older generation, but I think also too, culture does a poor job at encouraging love every single generation, and they can offer something that maybe you may not understand. But you know, I'll speak to the 5th to 12th graders if you're watching this, and I'll push this, is that, you know,
they're probably listening to it.
They are probably listening. They love podcasts.
You're not watching it.
Yeah, that's true. You got me on that one. See, that's a product of me. I don't listen to a lot of podcasts. I watch, but you know, there is so much in the church world, and I say church as the body of Christ, to look and to see the future in the older generation. And I was one of the younger kids coming up who, you know, I would, you know, oh, my parents get nothing. My mom gets nothing that I'm doing.
I think every generation said that.
And I'm sure she didn't. But you know, I know that when I got to sit down, now obviously I was not a Christian growing up, but when I became a Christian at 19, 20, and she was, you know, 55, being able to sit down with her and talk about God, and being able to finally talk about God with my dad, who was a believer, there was a unity there, because I got to finally talk, because I came to the understanding that, you know, that God is at the basis of what I needed. And so, you know, my encouragement to those who are younger listening to this is that, you know, be willing to have conversation, have good conversation with not just your peers, but with older generations. Sit down and learn. There's stuff to learn from them, but they will learn from you as well. And don't count yourself out just because you're young. And that's, you know, Scripture shares that. So,
Elijah?
I think that within my journey of of being poured into in the different ages that I, you know, that I have been throughout my faith journey, and especially along my time here at Crosswinds, I can't even think about all of the times where I was, you know, I was asked to do something or I was entrusted to do something where the people that were asking me were giving me so much grace and so much love along the way. And I think that's something that I'm so grateful for. But it's a reminder to me now that as we so intentionally are bringing in younger students and trying to do things intentionally cross-generationally, it's a reminder to me that you know, as we strive to be culturally relevant, there's so much grace involved and there's so much grace needed. And you know, because as we grow as a church and as we thrive, things change. And like you said, with the style of music, perhaps, you know, that slowly evolves into something else, or, you know, whatever it may be, as the younger generations become the older generations, you know. It's a growing process. And so I am thankful for those who have poured into me, but it's a reminder that as we help to equip and teach, but yet also learn from the younger generation, that I need to be willing to be part of the growing process.
Yes.
You know, and there's so much fruit in that when you let that happen and organically. And I don't know where I would be today if someone didn't come alongside me as I was learning, was learning to do those things, and not just learning to do the position I was doing on the tech team, or learning to do the whatever. I was learning how to be a follower of Christ, and I was learning how to be a believer, and I made mistakes, and I still do. But I'm so thankful that I had people along the journey to do that with, who didn't just be like, never mind, you know, or they're not ready yet. Let's wait, you know, because if you wait, then you're going to be too late, you know.
That's a good word. So, if you're late, if you wait, you're going to be too late. I would just encourage everyone. It you know, age is a number to a certain extent. And I mean, it does divide to in reality. You know, I certainly am not going to be able to do some of the things in recover that my grandkids are able to do, you know? If I came to a student ministry all-nighter, my recovery would not be as quick as it was when I was in my early 20s. I mean, I get all that. But the temptation then is to not be you. And I don't care how old the person is you're pouring into, how old a person is you're greeting maybe on a Sunday morning compared to you. And I'm going both directions. Maybe you're sitting there going, well, I'm young. Well, that's great. And I'm old. Well, that's great. But just be yourself. No, mm-hmm. Nothing worse than having somebody imitate something they're not.
Yeah.
So if you're not 14, don't act 14. You know, if you're not a biker, don't act like a biker. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just be who you are and allow God to use that. And yeah. And I've found that some of the oddest discipleship couples, you know, that have been ever paired together, whether it be age or interest or all those things, can still be quite amazing. Oh, yeah. In fact, God does amazing stuff in the midst of our diversity. And so generational ministry to me has always excited me. And I look forward to in the next episode talking about some of the biblical foundation for generational ministry. Matter of fact, some of the challenge that God gives us to be into generational ministry. And so for now, thank you for being a part of the podcast. You're going to join us back next week. And remember, check out crosswinds.church. That's sort of the hub. We're going to find out all things about this podcast, all things Crosswinds related. You can communicate with us there. If this podcast is of any help to you, please share it with those around you. And as always, be blessed and bless others.